Good morning. It's good to see you in church this morning. I'm really impressed. I think if I do a quick count, I think you've actually managed to outnumber the folk that arrived at Limekilns this morning. So there's a gold star and a smiley face. Alison.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody, and welcome to church on this snowy day. It's very good of you to come out and join us. And if you're a newcomer or a visitor, we do have a visitor's book outside, which would be lovely if you could sign. Gifty, a big thank you to everyone who has donated the Gifty appeal. The total raised is £1,080 towards the running costs of our church, and many thanks on behalf of the church to those who have donated. Kirk Session, there will be a joint Kirk Session meeting with Limekilns on Tuesday the 5th of December. Meet in the Limekilns Church Hall from 7:15, moving to the church at 7:30. Mm-hmm. Advent Christmas services, they're all in print and you'll get them online. I'll not read them all out just now, but there are Zoom codes for the services as well. Oh, right, yes, uh-huh. The Oakley invitation is... Have we got that on...? It's highlighted. Sunday the 10th of December, a celebration service at 6 o'clock at Oakley. So that would be nice if any of us could actually go and join with them, since they're one of our sister churches in the West Fife cluster. Scout Post, cards can be sent for 45p and you have up until the 6th of December to put them into the primary school or Fairleys. Last collection 5pm on the 6th of December.
I think that might actually be the 5th because the intimation down at Limekilns said Tuesday the 6th.
Right.
So I think it's Tuesday the 5th is meant to be there and it's... So the date was wrong, but the day was right.
Right, okay. Tuesday the 5th. Get them in on Monday the 4th, just to be absolutely certain, yes. Crossfords was the first, so yes. So that's that. Warm spaces in the Sanctuary Cinema. The church is open every Thursday between 1 and 5 until the end of March. And this week and every 2 weeks there'll be games and activities. On alternate weeks it'll be the cinema. And it'll be the cinema next on the 14th, and we're showing It's a Wonderful Life. Now, that's going to be 2 o'clock. It had been 1 o'clock, but we've decided it's taking a straw poll. It was 2 o'clock's a better time. Admission's free, and it's somewhere to come, and It's a Wonderful Life. So thank you very much.
I'm glad you've started off well, Alison, because I managed to switch off my microphone down in Limekilns inadvertently and thought the batteries had gone. And then the screen that's ahead of me decided it would suddenly come on in the middle of the service rather than me looking at books, and all sorts of things happened down the road. Anyway, it's good to be here. And, yes, I just about announced a hymn. I did announce a hymn down the road, and I got people going, candle, candle. So who would like to light a candle? Loads of people. That means I've got to make a decision, doesn't it? So how will we start? Sorry? Go the youngest. Who's the youngest? Aye, right. Only in behaviour. I think your hand was up. Come on then. Right, I'm hoping there are matches. That's good. Do you want it lit?
Yeah.
Thank you very much. There we go. First candle lit. So let's sing. We're going to begin with what is a very traditional song. And there's reason for that, because I'll be referring to it a wee bit later. It's what's called a paraphrase. And once upon a time in Scotland, only psalms and paraphrases would have been sung. Now, they would have been sung with a precentor, not with any kind of music. So I was tempted to invite somebody to come out and present, but George refused. We will sing with music. It's words of the Bible written in song. So we're going to sing what is an Advent paraphrase. It's number 277 in the hymn book. Hark the glad sound, the Saviour comes. Let's dedicate our offering. Almighty God, we present our gifts to you, asking your blessing upon them as they are used in the work of your church and to your glory, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So, here we are, first Sunday in Advent. What's Advent all about? Any ideas? Yep.
Chocolate.
That was Chinese whispers.
Right. Okay. Yes. I've played Chinese Whispers before, and this might amuse you. I whispered to somebody at one end of the church. I think was it here or was it down the road? It was one church anyway. And by the time it got here, it said something good about Jesus. And that was amazing. Because what I'd said here is the minister has a hole in his sock. And somebody in the middle decided, you can't possibly say that in church. So it turned into a nice message about Jesus. So there you go. All of these things can happen. So apart from chocolate, what are we counting down to?
Christmas.
Who's looking forward to Christmas? What are you hoping for? Yeah?
Family?
Food?
A lightsaber?
Sorry?
A lightsaber?
Snow?
Oh, we've got that early. Are you going to save some? Put a shovel in the freezer. Anybody here looking forward to anything at Christmas? You're hoping for a present or two? Right. Yeah, we've all got hopes about Christmas. Actually, when I went and looked to see what we would do for this Advent season, and unusually, Limekilns are doing one study and Cairney Hill are doing a different study. So down in Limekilns, it's a thing called the Last Straw. That might be Christmas Eve, as we remember the presents that we haven't bought and the things that we haven't done. And the one here is, I'm trying to remember, since it's meant to be in my head, what's the title again, Derek?
Waiting in Joyful Hope.
Waiting in Joyful Hope. And that reminded me of a number of the candles. So we've got all of this countdown to Christmas. And it's important that we think about that. But there's some there's something else about Christmas, about Advent. It's not just about waiting for Christmas. It's also about a promise that Jesus made that he would return. So on the one hand, we've got waiting to celebrate the birth of Jesus, and the other one is the promise that Jesus will come back. And that's what we're meant to be thinking about through Advent. But to try and work things out, I thought, you know what? I'm going to think about candles this year. So the first candle is hope. Well done. Somebody was listening. Gold star, smiley face. And then we're going to have peace, joy, and love. Those are the themes that we're going to look at through Advent. Of course, if you want to know about the love one, you'll have to go and listen to it from Limekilns, because I think on the 17th we're having an interactive nativity. I have no idea what an interactive nativity is. So we wait with bated breath, not just for Christmas, but for Christmas Eve too. So let's sing again. Now, we very often sing this around about Easter, very often on Palm Sunday, but if you open up the hymn book, it's in the Advent part of the hymn book. So we're going to sing Make Way, because that's part of our Advent. We're preparing to meet with Jesus. So make way, number 279.
Thank you.
George is leading our prayers this morning.
I've used the help of the Church of Scotland website this morning for the first prayer. Our prayers of thanksgiving and confession. Let us pray. O Advent God, come to us, we pray. Enter our hearts this day as we worship. Bring our prayers and our praise to you. As we light the candle of hope in our hearts, may we hold the small flickering flame throughout this week. May the flame of Jesus Christ's love stay with us and be close by us. O Lord, we thank you for this time of Advent, a time to be still and know that you are God, a time to prepare our hearts and minds. We thank you for this time of peace and calm to prepare, a time to think about what happened all those hundreds of years ago. Let us take a moment to reflect on the star. The star that shone as a beacon of hope over the lowly stable. As the flame of the hope candle flickers, we give thanks for our family and friends, and for a time we may be able to spend during Advent and at Christmas time. O Lord, though you have given us great hope, at times we doubt. We know our faith is weakened by challenging events in our life. Sadness and despair drown all hope as the tears fall, and we are washed away in floods and torrents of regret and fear. Forgive us, Lord, we pray, and give us renewed strength through our weakness. Forgive us, Lord, when we become too immersed in the hurly-burly of Christmas. Forgive us when we get stressed about all the preparations. Forgive us as we become overwhelmed by all we have to do. We are truly sorry that at times we lack faith. We lose hope. We do not hold on to your way. We stumble on our journey towards the stable. Teach us to be more like the wise men who never doubted the journey they had to make following the star. Teach us to be humble like the shepherds who travelled with the star. Forgiving God, we now in a few moments of silence bring to you our personal confessions and ask for your forgiveness. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your forgiveness. And may the star of Christmas hope be with us this day and all through Advent. And now let us pray together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For yours is the power and the glory now and forevermore. Amen.
We're going to look at Isaiah, where the prophet talks about hope in God but not hope in humanity. And Ephesians, where Paul talks about the blessings that we have in Christ, and in fact, our reason for celebrating Christmas. Seamus.
So our reading this morning from the Old Testament is from Isaiah chapter 64, and we read from verse 1 to verse 9. It's entitled Longing for God. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains would tremble before you. As when fire sets twigs ablaze and causes water to boil, come down to make your name known to your enemies and cause the nations to quake before you. For when you did awesome things that we did not expect, you came down and the mountains trembled before you. Since ancient times, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God beside you who acts on behalf of those who wait for him. You come to the help of those who gladly do right, who remember your ways. But when we continue to sin against them, you are angry. How then can we be saved? All of us have become like one who is unclean, and our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We all shrivel up like a leaf, and like the wind, our sins sweep us away. No one calls on your name or strives to lay hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us and have given us over to our sins. Yet you, Lord, are our Father. We are the clay, you are the potter. We are all the work of your hand. Do not be angry beyond measure, Lord. Do not remember our sins forever. O look upon us, we pray, for we are all your people. New Testament lessons from Ephesians, chapter 1, and we read from verse 2 to 10. Spiritual blessings in Christ. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love he predestined us for adoption as children through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace which he has freely given us in one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. May God bless to us this reading of his holy word.
We often say that some of the best theology that we find in hymns are in the Christmas hymns and carols that we sing. In this very short carol, three verses, we find who the child in the manger truly is. So let's sing hymn 314, Child in the Manger.
Oh,
If we go to that fount of all knowledge, Google, there are a variety of different meanings for the four candles we light through Advent. This depends on different traditions, and they use the candles to symbolise different aspects of Advent and Christmas. There are poems, hymns and songs, all giving slightly different themes, and over the years we've used a significant number of these. I was very tempted to refer to this series of Advent themes as Beyond Four Candles, but I refrained. The reason that came to mind is because of the title of the study material being used down at Limekilns, which is The Last Straw, and we know what that means. In this study, we are encouraged to look beyond the manger to who Jesus is. It's not just about Advent and the lead up to Christmas. It's more than just the Christmas story. It is who this Jesus is. So it's beyond the last straw. The title that's being used for studies here is Waiting in Joyful Hope. And that reminded me of at least two of the candles that we light. Advent in our secular society is all about getting things in place for Christmas. There is a lot that's positive in that. Most people are trying to do the right thing for people they care about. The problem that many face is that the stress of getting things done leads to a sense of relief that Christmas is over. And how many times do we hear that? And it's possibly made worse this year because this is the shortest that Advent ever is. Last year was the longest, because there are always four Sundays, and with Christmas Eve being a Sunday, it means this is as short a period as possible. 3 weeks from now, Christmas will be tomorrow. And how many people just had a moment of panic there, going, oh, all the things I've got to get done. And of course, that's how it is. In our secular society, the Christmas story concludes with the manger. It's a nice story with a happy ending. It's the fairy story that ends with they all lived happily ever after. But where's the hope in that? The Christmas story, the birth of Jesus in the Gospels of Matthew and Luke, is recognised by many scholars as something that's meant to say, read on. Can you imagine who this person is going to be? When we pack up Christmas and the baby in the manger goes into the loft for next year, we miss what Christmas is about. The first Advent candle symbolises hope. Now, interestingly, having decided to do that and having thoughts going through my head, I met someone at a funeral who said to me in conversation that they had not watched television for a significant number of months. They'd gone through a crisis and they decided that the best thing to do was to have no negativity in their lives. I presume this also meant an avoidance of news in written and spoken word too. We can probably sympathise with some of that sentiment. There seems to be so little hope expressed, and many find only despair when we think of the world around us. If you've been catching up with the news items, you will have heard the word hopeless used many times. Significantly, a number of folk have expressed this sentiment about COP28. They're saying it's just more words and no action. Nothing is happening. What's the point? It's hopeless. Humanity is going to hell in a handbasket, as some might say. On Question Time this week, talking about the conflict in Gaza, it was described as a hopeless situation. And even more so, the possibility of peace between Israeli and Palestinian. It's hopeless. There's nothing you can do. You might as well do nothing. In other words, it's futile. Thankfully, there are those who do have hope. There are those who believe that we can change what seems to be beyond repair. I suppose this is what was meant by folk like my mother, who would, well, just one of her sayings was, if you live in hope, you'll never die in despair. The question is, where do we find hope? The sanitised and romanticised version of the Christmas story only offers hope of a moment of respite from doom and gloom, a ceasefire in the ongoing evil and mess that we see in the world. When we read the story as it is presented in the Gospels, it is quite different. Here are real people struggling with real issues. It's not a nice story. It's not a story that's suitable for children, and there is no "they all lived happily ever after." When we begin to look at Advent, that first candle for hope points us to the promises delivered and contained in the Old Testament, more specifically by the prophets, and a great many of them from Isaiah. There in Isaiah, there are quite a few of the messianic texts. These were written long in the past for those who were in the Christmas story. And yet they believed, down through the centuries, that God will send the Messiah. God will send a Saviour. God will establish his kingdom. And so there in the story of the birth of John the Baptist, a struggle to believe and yet joy that it seems that God's promise is going to come to fruition. In the story of Mary, one of amazing obedience. And the world that unfolds as we read the birth narratives has a striking resemblance to our own. The power politics of that time were complicated. When Jesus is born, Judea lies at the edge of empire, and places on the edge are always dangerous places. Herod's authority depends upon Roman power. But nothing is certain, for at the edge of empire, is this an empire that will last, or will other empires come in? Where should Herod place himself in the power struggle? Herod was not a stable character. He had some of his own family executed through fear that they were plotting against him. The temple authorities in Jerusalem knew that they had to compromise with Herod and not irritate the Romans, just to keep a level of peace. And then there were those who believed that God was going to send this warrior king, that the Messiah was imminent, and they had to keep peace with them too. Bethlehem was only really remembered as a place of importance because of its connection with King David, but the seat of power was Jerusalem. Bethlehem was pretty unimportant. And Galilee, even less so. The hope of the people was for a great man of God, a powerful priestly king ruling by the power of God, because only power can conquer a lesser power. God's answer is that salvation will come, not just for the Hebrew people, but for the world. God's answer is not akin to earthly power, but the power and the weakness of love. We live in hope because the Messiah has come and has never left us and will return. Our hope is in God, in his grace and mercy, in his wisdom and power, in his complete understanding of our human frailty. And maybe the strangest of all, his hope in us. This is not just a one-way hope. God has faith in us. And so, in this season, where the world does seem in such a terrible mess, as we look at that conflict renewed in Gaza, as we think of winter in Ukraine and those in opposing trenches so reminiscent of the First World War, as we think of the great existential crisis of our time, what we do about this world that we live in, how do we care for creation, all of these things and so much more, we have the light of Advent and Christmas and beyond. Billy Graham said, God's mercy and grace give me hope for myself and for our world. The candle we light for hope is an in anticipation of the central candle, which is the light of the world. Jesus, who came as light that the darkness has not overcome, and who calls upon us to be the light of the world as his followers. Amen. All my hope on God is founded. Hymn number 192. And now our prayers for others. George.
I've entitled the prayers, Prayers for the World and Others. Let us pray. O Lord, we give thanks that we are all your children and you love us all equally. We are all included in your love, whether we have a disability, wherever we come from, whatever our background or experience, whatever our ability and our talents, we are all here together to share in prayer with you. We pray for an end to the horrific war between Israel and Hamas, where thousands of innocent Palestinians are again being displaced and becoming hopeless, being killed, suffering injury, starvation, deprivation of medical care, and the agony of mourning the loss of loved ones. We pray for an end to the war in the Ukraine, and at this time, especially this time of Advent, where both the peoples of Russia and Ukraine, who like us, are preparing to celebrate the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that your Holy Spirit will enter the hearts and minds of the leaders of the opposing nations there and in all areas of conflict throughout the world to cease hostilities and to meet to negotiate peaceful solutions. O Lord, we pray for all those throughout the world with unique disabilities today. Those with a physical disability. Those who are blind or deaf. Those with a rare condition. Those with mental issues. We pray for their strength to overcome their daily struggle. We pray for hope for those who may feel despair this day, those who may feel lost in their lives, those who may have no faith. Heavenly Father, we pray that the leaders and decision makers in our nation will strive to help all who are suffering poverty because of the cost of living crisis, suffering from illness or pain because of the long waiting list for operations in the NHS, suffering due to the ongoing strike action in many areas of employment. We pray for your help in making the correct decisions required and the changes we face in the Church of Scotland and our churches in the West Fife Cluster, to allow our congregations to once again grow through our mission activities. And now, in a period of silence, we wish to bring to you our personal prayers from the heart for our family and friends. Heavenly Father, loving God, thank you for listening to our prayers because we believe that through your divine love and intervention, they will be answered. Amen.
Tell out my soul the greatness of the Lord. Hymn 286. now in the hope of the Lord with the light of Christ to the world. And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always.